this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to American Red Devils Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? How you doing? No new signings to report of yet, but I feel it coming. Do you feel something coming?
Well, first and foremost, happy Memorial Day to the all the American Red Devils out there. We're recording on Tuesday, but I hope you had a great holiday weekend and set aside some time to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice this great country. On to the footballing things, the Manchester United side. Still a dumpster fire.
Lots of smoke.
Ed Woodward, a lot of smoke screens. Can't get anything over the line. Solskjaer came out and says he wants his business done by July 1st, based on how we started. I don't know how that's going to happen. The only saving grace is Barcelona look to have everything figured out, and their transfer strategy has unraveled. The De Ligt rumors, sir, how are you feeling? I don't have high hopes, right?
I wouldn't. I think it would be smart if you'd be a fool at this point to get your hopes up for De Ligt, because he's exactly what Manchester United need. He's exactly who we should be buying.
Harry Maguire?
No, dude. 19 years old. Best center back on the market right now that's trading for, you know, age to upside potential. I think he's the player you want. He's a leader, which is what we need. He's good in the air. You can play out the back. I can go on,
I know,
sir.
We want him, but
we're not going to get him. I wouldn't expect him.
He did pay tribute to Cruyff when Ajax won the league, and clearly Cruyff has a serious Barcelona connection, so I think his heart's made up, right?
We still have some connections with Ajax. You know, we still have Edwin van der Sar kicking around.
This is agent talk for getting more money for your client.
It's very possible, but we got to play both sides of the fence in the American Red Devils podcast, so you're going to play detractor. I might as well play pro. I think it's going to happen. I switched teams.
You want to bet?
In 60 seconds. Why not?
You want to?
Everybody needs a camp, sir, and I'm going to be on the pro DeLitt. Okay. Choo-choo, bro. Lit that fire.
So DeLitt is clearly the apple of the fan's eye at the moment, which, you know, it's going to be fickle, and I'm going to say he's going to sign for Barcelona, just wants more money. I think that's predetermined, and the agent is playing games. But again, all the big European sides are in for him, and why wouldn't you try to bid it up if you have that much interest? And again, he's playing in the Champions League final. We'll see him feature. Regardless, I do rate him. I just don't think it's realistic to think that we're going to sign him. We need to be thinking more pragmatic. The Juan Bissakas,
I agree,
the Harry Maguire,
it's a name
like getting
I never
players
thought we would
in.
Be able to get. Because the thing is, there's a lot of smoke been devoted to this story now for going on the long weekend. I mean, we covered the American Red Devils covered it all weekend. So you are right. It's like if we don't have a real chance, then we are wasting fucking time, because I'd be all about DeLitt. He'd be exactly what we need. But if we're just chasing another Ramos, another Schneider, another et cetera, Gaetan, I go on, baby. That's not what we should be doing, because we need someone we can get. And it looks like we're not getting Cabali because the price is really big. So we should move on to a slab head because we need somebody. And if it's not DeLitt, it's got to be someone, because July 1 is a real date. And I want to get things locked up by that Asia tour. You want to have everybody with you.
But there's one thing about saying that you want your business done by July 1, and there's another thing doing your business by July 1. And if you're going to do your business by July 1, putting your hat in the ring for the most quartered defender, arguably, in the world is probably not a way to do it. I think we did come out of the gate hot at Cubali, threw in an offer there. We moved on to De Ligt. I think Harry Maguire's entertaining offers from City as well. I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking to pretty much everyone. Now, that is a positive because you're setting a smokescreen, but the negative is you're kind of looking at multiple deals at the same time. So therefore, you're like, if De Ligt says yes, then we don't need Maguire. If he says no, then we do need Maguire. So you're kind of prioritizing things, and you should just know your guy. You should be talking to him before the end of the window. That's why we hired Solskjaer in the first place, and we should be making deals. I mean, the fact that we haven't signed a player yet, it's a little concerning to me. I think we should have had at least two out the gate where we just got him in cheap signings we agreed to.
Right. I don't know if any signings are cheap these days. I think there are a few coming.
Relatively.
Well, I'm not going to play cover. Dude, I'm never going to play ground cover for the Glazers, Woodward. But I do think there are one or two signings coming in the coming week. Probably,
you said there'd be a signing by this pod.
Daniel James, I was wrong. Look, clear me wrong. I think Daniel James is coming. I think a right back could be coming. A Wan-Bissaka could be coming. But it should be coming, because those are signings that we need to be making priority areas that need to be filled. Daniel James is not Sancho, but Wan-Bissaka is like top of his position, young, English, Premier League proven, everything you want would be a perfect signing for this club. So we need shit to start happening soon, because one thing that Woody's good at is just making up a lot of smoke and keeping those smoke piles going. But deals is another thing altogether. Sometimes he gets it right, sometimes he doesn't. And this summer, we need a big one if we're going to have any chance at fighting for anything next year.
Well, it speaks to why we need a director of football, because we should be rating prospects and talent that other teams are currently undervalue, right? If we're going to go bid for the Dalits of the world, it's fine to do that every once in a while. But, you know, we should be looking at the upcoming talent in Europe. We have an extensive scouting network, and we should be getting those nowadays probably 25, 35 million pound youngster signings on the way up, similar like a Delo. Now, Delo needs a few years, but those are the players that are going to come good in the 2 to 3 year time frame, which is probably when we're going to win the league. So without that direct to football, that consistent strategy and pipeline, we're seeing it because we're linked to big names, we're linked to everyone, and no one's coming through the door.
That's true. There has been no one coming through the door. I'm not defending it, but there have been some new names. There have been some new names in some like not so tested
waters.
What are
not new names?
No, I'm talking about like non-Griezmann names, like the Moussa Dembele from Lyon with legs. Like that actually has some legs. If a Sanchez or Lukaku leave, that's probably who we're going to go for. That seems like a name that I never heard of a week ago that now we're very much attached to. Lockhart from Newcastle. You know, it's like we lost Herrera. They seem to like Lockhart. There are signings, whether or not the names that United got excited about, but they are like 25 million and sub kind of furry-ass signings in some ways.
So also to clarify how we're
covering,
the way we're covering transfers and all this muppetry that we're currently disagreeing with.
We're muppeting.
We are currently muppeting in the summer is that, you know, I've been through this so much. You kind of realize we're going to be linked to everyone. There's always going to be a chirp. There's going to be an article, people chirping, this player, Declan Rice, like you said, Lockhart, all these young, any English player we're going to be linked to, everyone in the world pretty much. And then all of a sudden there's like a little more smoke. Maybe the Sun runs out an article. Maybe they have a source with the player's agent. Maybe something starts leaking. Then you start seeing different sides.
BBC,
multiple,
the Sky picks it
up.
Yeah,
multiple papers start picking up, running. They start talking about the amount, and they start talking about player agreed to terms, need to work it out with the team. It kind of like
terms.
We haven't seen, other than the Dalit, like we've been in with an offer. Like Kubali, we came in. We submitted an offer to Napoli, was rejected. I mean, this isn't tier one necessarily, but you can tell through the smoke screen. The
movement. You can tell by the traction based off the story is building or dying, right?
So it's kind of a
Sancho
misnomer.
Die right away. As soon as we drop that Champions League, Sancho dead on arrival.
Yeah,
it's not happening.
It might not be tier zero, tier one. That means it's confirmed done, but you're going to get these tier two, tier three. That's the smoke when you're going to see a deal forming. And we have only seen smoke on Dalit. We saw a bid for Kubali that was rejected.
Daniel James
Sancho's
is probably
dead.
Happen.
Daniel James probably will happen again. Tragically, his father did pass away when they were trying to ink that deal. But I do think our transfer strategy is in shambles based. I haven't seen a lot of smoke on certain names that we've been linked to. Like Wan-Bissaka is just chirping. There's no real serious. I heard we bid 25 million pounds. It should be
that's
50
nothing,
million.
Nothing.
Right.
I mean, I think we're close to that. I think we're serious on Wan-Bissaka. He is a top target. I hope we get that
if
deal
you're
done.
Serious,
we
why
get
don't
that
we,
deal done, sir.
What is Ed Woodward so busy doing when we're not signing Wan-Bissaka ASAP? Did Palace say they want 100 million? There's been no smoke alluding to the fact we've made a serious run. And I would think we need to be making serious runs at the five players we prioritize. But instead, it sounds like it's more the same. This is exactly what happened last year when we were linked to defenders, just chirping, and there was no real smoke about who we were going to get and why. Like Toby Alderweireld, 25 million. Why don't we get him today? Like, we need players now so we can start locking down these positions and moving on, because we're going to start preseason very early and Ole's not going to have these pieces in play. And look, Jesse Lingard is going to be shopping for a new outfit, bro. He ain't going to have time.
No, we're opportunistic, bro. We're shopping opportunistically because we don't really have a DOF that is setting an overarching theme to how we go about business. That means we're going to be opportunistic about who pops up, who's available when. So Dalit, he probably wasn't even on our radar until all of a sudden Raiola was like, yo, you guys willing to pay him 14 million pounds a year? Because if you are, maybe he'd look pretty good in red. So all of a sudden that changes the dynamic. Like, well, Bissaka wants 100 million. We can give him 85 million for Dalit and just pay him more. And it's just like, we don't, you know, that's a good thing and a bad thing because it means you're flexible. But at the same time, it's like we should have an idea of exactly who we're trying to get before the window even starts. And we should have had a couple of those closed up by now.
Yeah.
As you said, right? Wan-Bissaka, right back. We know who you want. You get him done.
The number one thing that Ed Woodward needs to do in the transfer window is lock up business early, so then he doesn't look like a buyer into the end of the window and he can be opportunistic and get deals done. The real issue is when you become a cash cow for the Riolas of the world to just have you come in, bid up their existing club that they actually want to go to, and then leave you with nothing. And Woodward has gotten done like that a few times. Ramos was a big one. You shouldn't even entertain it. You should just get your guys. And then if things pop up opportunistically, it gives you leverage in those situations. But for some reason, we're always a buying club.
We get happy ears, dude.
Everyone knows
we're
a buying club, and we fall for it every time. So I think DeLitt's going to Barca. He'll get a pay raise because he was flirting with us. And that's just a banter club, mate, at this time. You know, if I was DeLitt, why would you go to Manchester United right now? Other than money. And does he seem like a guy who's all about money?
Other than money, if you could be sold that, like, you're going to be the man, we're going to build the whole club around you, and you could be the captain in a couple of years because there's no leadership in the club.
He didn't grow up a Manchester United fan. It's hard to...
It's still a big club. We're not City, bro. This is still Manchester United.
Barcelona's in Champions League. We're not. I'm being a little unbiased because it's going to be a tough sell. That being said, that's enough muppetry for the intro. We'll get to some rumors at the end here, but
I thought that was the meat of the pod, mate.
Yeah, dude, that's just the summer transfer banter window. Thank God we had a little distraction from the current state of things. And as a fan, it's been nice. We took a week off. We were doing two pods a week. I got to think about the team. You know, I wasn't so stressed about it.
You feeling better? You're feeling less stressed?
No, I'm not, because again, I said I want players and jerseys. I want signings done for the reasons that I just said.
I want to see that logo for all the wrong reasons.
But we had a brief reprieve from the current state of Manchester United, and that was the Manchester United Legends versus Bayern Munich Legends charity match at Old Trafford. That was this Sunday, the 26th of May, and this was a treat. Sir Alex leading the line, leading the boys out of the gate. I mean, Sunday's team was made up of the class of 92. We had David Beckham, Nicky Butt, Scholes, Ole himself, Sheringham, Yorkie, Cole. I mean, it was just the who's who of that treble-winning side, and it was great to have that celebrated Old Trafford and then get some old Bayern Munich players that we could just beat up on.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, pretty decent manager in Alex Ferguson taking his old spot and a solid back line, you know, at the helm with Peter Schmeichel holding it down between the sticks like only he could. Jaap Stam made it back. Dennis Irwin and both the Neville brothers make up defense. So quite a crew to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Top of the Mountain, bro. That's going to be a minute or two before we return to.
Yeah, and, you know, if you got to watch the charity match, it was a ton of fun. Beckham showing up. It's
looking
like,
good.
Why doesn't he play for us still? Honestly, he should be like a player coach, come in on the wing. I mean, his corners look great. The crossing is unbelievable. I mean, to see Beckham in red again at home at Old Trafford with a big smile with Sir Alex. I mean, they did part under dubious circumstances with that kicked boot. But to see everyone come full circle 20 years later, put a smile on a bunch of fans' face. Plus, they won 5-0. Nicky Butt had a goal. Beckham had a goal. Yorkie had a goal. It was classic United at home at Old Trafford.
Ole still got it, man. He opened up the scoring early within the first 5 minutes.
Didn't have to do much. That was a tap in there for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It's kind of interesting. It's crazy. He's the manager. You know, watching him play in red and seeing him be a part of that team, you know, made, you know, kind of softened the blow of that Cardiff loss a little bit.
Well, the other day, dude, you know, his season and his coaching career will end however it is destined to end. But we cannot forget what kind of player he was for Manchester United and the trophies and the moments that he was a part of. So, like, he could end up being a complete dumpster fire, continued out for his manager career, but he's always be a legendary player. He's always going to be a huge idol for this club that will never be ruined. And it's like, because of the trouble, because of 99, because of everything he was a part of, it doesn't really matter. And we're all hoping for the best, but it's like, you remember what this team accomplished under Fergie. Dude, 99 was special.
I mean, to say the least, the commemorative jersey doesn't look too bad either.
It doesn't.
On David Beckham, I rate that. I mean, that might be a good custom jersey to get, sir.
I
can't burn that one. You know?
Yeah, that is true.
The Beckham number 7 on the new jersey. I actually like the black badge. You know, it does come off a little better in person when you can see it. I think it's a great sort of advertisement. And then you can't forget Louis Saha came on the field. Louis, he looked sharp as well. He looked like he's still be playing in a Masters League somewhere. But again, just a great night for Manchester United. And some funny kind of tidbits. Rashford and Lingard got to announce the game, and they decided to dress up. They got a lot of... Lingard, especially with those glasses he wears. He got a lot of stick online. Some people said that was fair, unfair. Again, for them to show up like... They just clearly don't know the role a little bit. I mean, you're going to do commentary for, a Legends match, and you're trying to make a fashion statement. You should be a little more respectful. Maybe wear your suit that you wear on game day. You know, I don't know.
Somewhere in between. I know they could have, toned it down a notch, probably the glasses a little much, but I get what you're saying. They just, if you finish the season a different way, maybe, too. Just expects so much that, it puts a bad taste in people's mouths.
If we're in top four,
go have some fun. Go take a couple weeks off. Yeah. I would say.
If you're in top four, wear those glasses every day. If Jesse Lingard, if you score a few goals,
even celebrate top four. This is still Manchester United.
Finish the season strong, the way we finish the season to come out like that is clearly someone isn't telling them.
Lensless glasses. Yeah. It's you don't wear those glasses.
The intangibles of this club and the intangibles that people are criticizing are the fact that they don't get the history of the club. They don't respect the club.
The week of a big match. This is kind of little stuff that adds up that kind of just looks funny.
Yeah, it just optically doesn't look good for them.
And it rubs fans the wrong way, and that's why they reacted the way they did.
Yeah, so that's one I had to point out. And then Gary Neville, Sir Alex Ferguson kind of gave Gary Neville a shot, being like, why do you keep shooting? Gary Neville had a few shots he took on, again, the pundit for Sky Sports these days. I think he wanted to prove he still had it or hadn't lost it. It was great to see which players did. And then Yap Stam. It looks like we need to bring him back. He has the grit we needed in defense at Manchester United, putting in some serious challenges. Paul Scholes as well. Looks like he should still be playing on the team, put in some really jersey challenges. Again, some passes, world-class stuff from Paul Scholes. Probably my favorite Manchester United player of all time, just because the way he played, and he just doesn't talk off the pitch.
I tell you what, he makes it look easy while he does it. He just floats it around. We'll talk about it when we break down the match.
I wonder if he put any bets on that
2007
match.
2007, sir, but he looked mint in that one.
Anything else on the Manchester United Legends versus Bayern Munich Legends match? The 20th anniversary of the treble? Anything we should be reflecting on?
I wish we had more 5-0 victory at homes to reflect on recently, sir, but it's been a while.
Yeah, no, it has been a while. I will say another takeaway. I like the goalkeeper jersey. If Dave saves stays,
Dave
if
stays.
Dave stays, I will be very pumped for him rocking that new shirt.
It might be our boy Romero, dude, our new number one.
He won't be bad.
He's a great
keeper. I would, if De Gea doesn't want to stay, you should get rid of him and put. I don't think we need to sign a keeper. Romero would be fine. I don't know about Lee Grant, but we'll see about
he's
that.
He's enjoying himself. Lee Grant is having a great time.
On to the next segment of the podcast. The Everton versus Manchester United throwback that was on YouTube in HD. It's posted there. If you haven't watched it, you still can. It was great
watch.
To kind of watch old school Manchester United 2007. It was played on April 28th, which was a Saturday at Goodison Park. And this was a critical match for many reasons. Sir, tell us about it.
Fourth to last match of the season, last match of April. Heading to Goodison Park to get what would be 3 points that would keep them 5 points ahead of Chelsea in the race to their first title since 2003, if I remember correctly. So, big deal. You watch this game, you watch this lineup, we should go to this lineup. It is the most,
take us through the lineup.
It's the most Fergie lineup. You watch the game, it's in many ways feel like a Fergie win, but let's go top to bottom. You got number one, Edwin van der Sar at the time, and my favorite right back, Johnny O'Shea. Center back pairings of West Brown and Ainsa. So you could tell Gabriel Ainsa from Argentina. You could tell there were some injuries at the moment with Vidic and Ferdinand unavailable, and then Patrice at left back. And then you had a midfield three of Michael Carrick, Ryan Giggs, and Paul Scholes. Not bad. Still take it.
Not too shabby at all.
Not too shabby at all. Then a front three. Get this: Alan Smith, number 20. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I think I've heard of him. And my boy, first jersey ever had, number 8, Wayne Rooney. I love this jersey. This is my first jersey, the jersey they wear in this game.
Yes,
so.
Yes, it was my first jersey. It was the Ronaldo number 7. It had that original white patch. Now
nice
it's in
patch.
Black on the new jersey. So, this is classic. No Chevrolet, sir. No Chevrolet.
AIG, just another.
You know.
yeah, let's not talk about AIG.
Interesting formation coming out. I mean, like, first of all, quick notes, just like turning on this game on YouTube. It's great that there's a few full matches on YouTube, the classic ones. And when you're watching this era, I mean, you got the young Rooney, babyface Rooney with the hair. You got the young David Moyes. You got mean mugging Sir Alex. I mean, the characters across the line, even Arteta.
Arteta, I know. He was the best player in Everton on that day.
You know, these are great characters. You had
David Moyes,
Phil
especially.
Neville.
I mean, it's actually a great game to pick because there's all these former characters from Manchester United, even present with Carrick in the squad. Ole starting in 07, which was like wasn't that often of an occurrence.
Yeah, Ole was on the right wing. Alan Smith through the middle. Rooney on the left wing. I can't remember when Wayne Rooney played on the left wing for Manchester United, but when things kicked off, Everton had this hysterical circular pattern on the field. If you watch the video,
tactical genius, mate.
Tactical genius. David Moyes, that's what he said, had to be that way. But I'll call out a few funny things from 2007. Big sponsor for Everton on the boards was Bargain Booze. So if you're
Chang Beer, I love, is the actual actual advertiser.
Yeah,
on jerseys.
But if you, I was trying to read the old advertising boards. My favorite one was Bargain Booze. If you're ever in Everton, make sure to stop
Liverpool,
by.
Yeah, check it out.
Bargain Booze there, and then the one thing you can tell this is 12 years the EPL has evolved in bringing foreign talent into the league. The pace of the game has improved so much compared to watching this in 07. You could tell the league has gone leaps and bounds, more so than I actually thought, because obviously watching this in 07, it's been so long since I've kind of watched the league and then gone back 10 years to see what it looked like. You can tell there's quite a bit of improvement that's been made in the EPL.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I have a comment. It's true. The pace of it, the speed of play has increased, but the amount of stops has increased. Right, there's a lot more stops in play than there used to be because they call a lot more fouls than they
used
to.
Yep.
So back in the day, they would let play go on because they used to hack the shit out of each other. And that has changed so much because protect the players. I think there's a lot more skill type players. And maybe it's also because, like, Jesus, they need to catch their breath because the speed of it is so fast, so open. But this was a great game to watch because it shows you that pragmatic approach that Fergie had to winning.
No, exactly. And this is what you need to win the title. You need to throw Gabriel Heinze in at center back with Wes Brown, have it pay off. But, the main reason why it did pay off is he had Michael Carrick and Paul Scholes doing the dirty work. When you have two midfielders put in a shift back there, center backs didn't have a lot to do. You don't get exposed at center back when you have two midfielders willing to do all the work.
I would call that out, but I actually gonna call out three names in particular. I think the reason that it worked is because Fergie was able to pepper like really hardworking good players with really hardworking world class players. And at different times he had different amounts of world class players on the field. This time in particular, I think he had three world-class players playing, and that was, not to pick on Michael Carrick, but he had Ryan Giggs, Scholes, and Rooney. And Rooney didn't have his best game in a whole game, because I think Everton fans were picking on him. He just left them a couple years ago, and until he scored, he didn't really, his smile didn't change. And Carrick played really well, but Giggs and Scholes and Rooney, especially Giggs, bro. And I know we hit on Giggs, because he's kind of a dirtbag.
Well, this was like when he was banging his brother's wife.
Dude, I'm not going to defend that. But as a player,
no, I know, but that
we
would,
cannot, you, like, you for, sometimes
no,
forget.
No, but he would
because,
be in form.
Because his rep is so.
He wasn't caught banging his brother's wife. He
was
doing it and enjoying his time.
It is, but I'm just saying, I just want to make a point, because I don't often compliment number 11, our number 11, the player that's had the most appearances for Manchester United over any other player. He was a worldie, bro. And it's like he did some bad things, but on the field he was unbelievable.
It doesn't work without Paul Scholes.
It doesn't. The two of them. I agree.
No,
you need Ryan Giggs and Paul Scholes.
Look, sir, I appreciate your ode to Ryan Giggs. I haven't heard that from you in a while.
Paul Scholes was in that camp too, of that world class camp, sir.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is the one thing you could see on the field was how deep and how defensively focused both Michael Carrick and Paul Scholes were. Carrick would almost be that fifth center back, kind of like a Busquets dropping down. And Scholes and him kind of rotated in that position, but they never left their defensive responsibilities. Because if you saw Evra on the left-hand wing, he would overlap. Same with John O'Shea, and it'd just be Heinze and Brown. But the reason why they never got exposed is because you always had your midfielder looking over the shoulder and doing the dirty work. And the one thing about the forwards, like you were talking about Wayne Rooney, it didn't come off, but they were so brave. They weren't afraid to lose the ball because they knew we were going to get it back.
They worked so hard.
Because we had such a great midfield, right?
That's everybody the thing. Knows where to play, and everybody's always in the position, and no one leaves their teammates exposed, really. I mean, we did; they get scored on, but I'm just saying is like Carrick and Scholes. They know where they're supposed to be.
Well, speaking of getting scored on, we'll just jump into the goals here. The first half, 11th minute, Carrick own goal. It was a free kick that was deflected. Hell of a shot, but he deflected a little higher, and Edwin van der Sar actually missed the save. 49th minute, going 1-0 at half. And my favorite part, before we get to the 49th minute goal by Everton, was at the 18th minute, Manchester United is down by one, seeing Sir Alex on the touchline.
Furious.
Screaming.
Furious.
Blood pressure through the roof. Furious. I have not seen.
Yeah, we need that. We need more of that.
I have not seen. Like, Mourinho faked being that angry. Ole's never been that angry. Moyes didn't have it. LVG did. I've never seen anyone as mad as I saw Sir Alex in the 18th minute,
Klopp,
down 1-0.
Klopp maybe fakes it, but he has that crazy.
Yeah, but he's not our
crazy
manager. I was going through.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Of any Manchester manager at Manchester United since Sir Alex Ferguson, no one has looked as
Jose
angry.
I mean, Jose, maybe.
He's pretended.
Jose sparks.
Jose kind of gets emo, disappointed, but Sir Alex Ferguson was like, he was going to let him have it.
Dude, 1-0 down.
1-0 down Everton away. He comes off the bench and it just literally was like cursing and pointing at the field.
No
just
fury.
Like literally like, and that is something about Sir Alex Ferguson we probably forget because now you watch him the charity match, he's all smiles. But back in the day when he wanted to get his boys to win the league or the league was on the line, it ain't no joke. And people feared him. That's what Rooney said.
Yep.
He's like, you need to fear someone when you're a player. And man, when you see that angry Scott, they definitely feared him.
Oh, he scared the life into me, man. And that was like, I remember that. You're right, because it was early in the game. It was not even like second half. They weren't creating. It was like early. He was not happy they went down as lead leaders. Expected the best, right? You got to keep it up if you're going to win. And that's how he won.
49th minute. Fernandez for Everton just smokes one upper right-hand corner. Beats van der Sar unfairly, unmarked there. And then, you know, boys down two with the league on the line away at the Merseyside. What would they do? Would they fold? Would they let in four and just jog around the pitch like we did this year? That's not how it's going to happen. 60th minute, United turning those screws. A corner. Everton keeper drops the ball off a corner. John O'Shea with that quick finish. When John O'Shea scores, you're having a good time. And then in the 61st, we got to get him on. The Portuguese, currently, I would say, maybe the world number one spot. Ronaldo wearing red, that long sleeve, sir. Looks good.
Baggy shirt. No, he didn't even fill it out back then.
Before
he ordered the extra smalls.
Our last great number seven. Who would have thought Sanchez would be wearing it now? He came on instant impact, 67th minute. Ronaldo header, own goal from Phil Neville, 2-0 to Manchester United. 2-2. Phil Neville, thank you very much. He's the spy Sir Alex Ferguson put on the other side, but we needed the win. And in the 80th minute, Wayne Rooney steps up big time, finishes for Manchester United. They take the lead. And
this is the badge, baby. Just really enjoys it.
Like, fuck you, Everton.
Only like Everton. Only like Wayne Rooney could. And he, you know what? He deserved it.
Yeah, and then in the 93rd minute, we capped it off with one more, Sir Eagle. I mean, it's been a while.
Chris Eagles, how you doing, bro?
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. The great Manchester United, 33. That's right. Whoever has a Chris Eagles jersey, shout out to you. You're a hardcore fan. But again, I'm going to say, for me, it was the midfield, watching a midfield do his job. Because under Manchester United, of late, I've been seeing our midfield just get overrun and our defenders exposed. And when you actually play your position and you do it well, I mean, he put two holding midfields in there. And basically, like, when the ball was forward, it's almost like we had five strikers. Everyone was in the box. Giggs, Smith, like, Solskjaer, like, everyone was in the box. And then it was just our midfielders holding down shop, man. It was
sure,
like,
you don't need a team of Galacticos to win everything, bro, because you just need world-class players
to do a job.
To do a job, and you need everyone to work their asses off as a team, and you can accomplish great things. And I'm not saying beating Everton 4-2 is great things, but this team and a lot of these players accomplished great things because they were part of an unbelievable team.
Who's your man of the match, sir?
My man of the match is going to be Ryan Giggs.
Ah, Ronaldo coming on impact. Instant impact. He came on for Alan Smith. Alan Smith didn't do nothing.
No, he didn't.
Ole
didn't do much.
Yeah, and unfortunately, our current manager,
he got his Premier League medal.
He didn't do much on the right-hand side there.
He didn't look great.
Those are towards the end. That's towards the end of his career. But again, it's great watching, you know, vintage 07, 06, 07 Manchester United, sir. It's been a while. And, you know, I really did enjoy that. And that's probably something we're going to continue to do throughout the summer. We'll pull up classic matches. We'll recap them on the podcast. If you guys like to see that.
We enjoyed watching that because this was a big game. First title in the first of, would be three in a row.
And you need it. You need stuff like this to just get your head off of the Muppetry. But speaking of Muppetry, sir, United in the news. We're moving on. You got a lot of transfer news in here, sir. Hit us off. Get us started with our Muppetry here.
Well, if you haven't seen the new website, we are really jacking things up as it comes to transfer news. Muppetry season, we are muppeting. That's going to be the new verb because that is what's going on.
But we're not muppeting for Muppet's sake. You know,
we're muppeting because it's what we need.
No.
We all need a proper dose of it.
Anything with serious legs, we're going to cover, right? Like tweeted to us, hey, how about you wait for tier one? You can wait for tier one, but tier two, tier three, it's going to start there. It's going to start with the chirping. It's going to start with the smoke.
Tail wagging the dog.
Because what happens is there's another side to every transfer. That's the player's agent, right? So when it comes to tier one, player's agent is hard. So they're going to leak to the press. Then United will leak to the press out of their more substantial sources. But again, you should be talking about who we're rumored to be in for. Like, I didn't see any tier one say we bid for Kubali, but I'm sure that we did, right? This is actually how it works behind the scenes when it comes to transfer news. So, sir, hit us off with these articles.
Well, this one isn't even a direct transfer. It's just someone that knows a little bit about football. Manchester United's title draft to drag past a decade. United may wait 5 years, quote, for title challenge, according to Gary Neville, according to Sky Sports. And what do you think about that, sir? 5 more years for a title challenge, not even a title.
I'm going to say if we win the title under 10, I'd be happy.
Under 10
fan.
From today?
Under 10 from today, yeah. Oof. If you're saying...
Bleak.
What if you look at the amount of money being dumped in the Premier League and the competition?
When Newcastle's about to get bought by like.
It seems to me that it's going to get harder, not easier, and the days of Manchester United dominating are probably
those are way over.
Unfortunately, today I just hope Pep Guardiola leaves City sooner rather than later because I know they're going to fall apart as soon as he leaves. So for us, it's a question of can we get it right with no director of football? The Glazers are still the owners. Woodward at the helm. I'm going to say it's 10 years.
I mean, it's not just City, bro. We ain't exactly second. You know, it's like we got like City, then Liverpool, then Spurs.
No, it's bad. Right now
We're like not a well-run club. So we got to get 5 years, I hope. But I hope this club gets traded in the next 12 months because that is our best case
probably
scenario as we get bought by someone rich.
Sale in 2 to 3 years, I think.
Oof, then it might be 5 years at least. Next piece of news is Fergie like to send Woodward packing. That's right. Sir Alex Ferguson is unimpressed with Ed Woodward over his Manchester United transfers thus far, according to the Metro. That's right. Fergie has his reservations over United's approach to recruitment, and it's still disappointment, as am I, with his decision to let Wilfred Zaha leave the club for £3 million. £3 million with
no buyback.
With no buyback.
Oh, wait, Depay. We got Memphis Depay, the rapper, a.k.a.
good.
The rapper. We got him on buyback, but not Zaha, which makes absolutely no sense since he might trade for upwards of 80 or 90 million. Again, I rate Zaha.
We'll
I think
we'll
he'd
see.
Be great on the left wing and was in my team last week. Sir, next bit of news.
Ooh, and we touched that out of the opening because we kind of jumped ahead to even the fact that there was smoke. But Simon Stone, who is a tier one, no joke. If you hear it coming from him, he's pretty much official.
You know nothing, Simon Stone.
Yeah, pours cold water, but he might be told to pour water on the DeLitt smoke. This is according to Twitter, yeah. So according to Simon Stone, this is what he said from Twitter, is wouldn't expect United to say anything. If they say not interested, as in can't get him, it seems like they don't rate him. But if they say that they are and they can't get him, then it looks like they missed out. Club are committed to strengthening Solskjaer's squad. They want to be challenging again.
No, we're in there.
He's positioning it really.
We offered, we're the big cash offer. If you look at the table, Barcelona says, come play with Messi. You know, come play with De Jong.
We'll pay you less. You got to fight for your spot.
Yeah, and they're going to pay him less, and he's going to...
We're going to win sooner.
Win trophies. And he probably wants to go to Spain because of the Cruyff connection, like he had mentioned.
His boy Jong, or De Jong, whatever his name is playing there.
So I do think that we're in there with a big money offer. Like, hey, we'll pay you more, and we'll pay a bigger fee. So that's something to contemplate. But at the end of the day, I do think Barcelona will match because there is pressure. They did lose that cup final in Spain, and they're going to need to get a sign to get the
did you hear
the fans off their back.
Did you hear who they're appointing?
Who?
Roberto Martinez, bro. Roberto Martinez, I guess bringing Belgium to the semifinals of the World Cup are enough with that squad. The most he's done, he did win the FA Cup with Wigan. That's like his number one accomplishment. But he is apparently going to be the new manager of Barcelona.
That's one more accomplishment than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the moment.
I'm being realistic. Sir, that's deep wounds. Manchester United make opening bid of more than £35 million for Lyon's Moussa Dembélé as they rebuild squad, according to the Daily Mail.
How many Dembélés are there?
Quite a few. There are quite a few, sir, but we know how to say this one's last name. So Dembélé, we've gotten that one right by now. But he's had a pretty good year. He's 22-year-old, scored 23 goals in his first season at Lyon. And apparently he is somebody that we're looking at if we want to, you know, if we do end up getting rid of Lukaku. He's been flirting with Milan and going and playing, I think, with Conte down there. He would be one of the replacements.
No, I think this is good business. These are the players we should be in for. It should be the young up-and-comers in Europe. You know, again, that's why I rate João Felix as well. But it's, you got to be getting young, up-and-coming talent. And Moussa Dembélé for $35 million. I like that deal. It just should be already done. Having these things bleed out, like transfers take, I mean, to between the first smoke and then close, it's 2.5 weeks at the least. I mean, for us to go for zero to close on five players before July 1st, it's like time to get going. This process takes time. You got to agree to terms with the player. You got to agree to terms with the club. They got to have the medical. Again, this is one of these things where agents have to be paid. It takes time for these deals to be done. And the fact that we're, you know, we haven't come out of the gate with people signed, done and dusted, makes me concerned, because Ole's playing in that game and he's like, yeah, we could use Yapstam at defense and be like, okay, that's why
funny,
do you,
but
why do you
scary?
Say that? A, because you're kind of
true.
You're kind of slating the existing defenders you have at the club, and we haven't signed anyone.
Well,
so,
it sounds like Mourinho, but he's doing it in a much nicer way.
We have the money. The players are there. I think, again, Woodward's trying to be too cute. Like he does
money,
always,
and spend it, sir. I don't know if they're gonna spend it.
You could get Maguire done for $85 million, easy.
$85 million, Maguire. Jesus,
you gotta buy him. You gotta buy him.
You gotta buy somebody. You
gotta
buy. D-Lit is leaving, and
you're buying Cabali for $100 million. They say no to $100 million. You go to Leicester to the next.
70.
As soon as Napoli turns you down, you go to Cabali. Then you go down the list, and you get Alderweireld. Day three,
we should get Alderweireld anyway.
Yeah,
you're going to get a delay.
Totally,
you need an Alderweireld.
It's just not going well, Edward.
It's
and by the way, if you're worried about the transfer strategy, you want to have a laugh. I sent out a tweet, which is like, give us your best gift that sums up the transfer window so far for Manchester United.
This is great, great.
I think we had like 60 responses of gifts, and they're all hysterical. I tweeted out a few. So just shout out. Appreciate the banter.
Shout out to
Twitter.
All of you.
Yeah. Sir, next article. Let's get into Wan-Bissaka.
Last but not least, United prepare $25 million. Like you said earlier, does sound low as an opening bid for Crystal Palace defender, according to the Evening Standard. Now, this is apparently OGS's first choice RB right back replacement, but $25 million feels like lowball, bro. It's like, ain't no right backs that are this good with this much potential trading for $25 million. So hopefully, this is just Evening Standard.
It's
got to
be 50 at least. 45 or 50.
It would be good price to pay.
Yeah,
so
but
let's
again,
get that done. Whatever it takes.
Getting a little greedy.
And sir, what's grinding our gears this week?
Oh, wow. So if you saw on Reddit, there was a post about the average kilometers covered per 90 minutes for all Manchester United players. And man, for
ugly.
You know your team's in shambles when everyone cares about this stat. Because I've seen this stat posted for Paul P., all of our
that's
different players.
That's grinding your gears, the fact that we care about this stat, not the stat itself?
No, not. I mean, the stat itself is terrible, but when you discuss this stat, it shows you that your players don't even want to run for your team, so you're literally just going to
argue about how lazy they are.
So no surprises here at the bottom of the list. David De Gea,
3.8.
He runs the least amount of any Manchester United player. Eric Bailly, second to last on the list. And then this is the one where everyone's been really bummed about. Anthony Martial, third worst on the team, 9.05 kilometers per 90 minutes.
Which is pretty bad.
So he does do a lot of standing around, keeps the width, but again, you could argue the young Frenchman should be doing some more work. And then you have all of our defenders, Phil Jones, Lindelof, then you got Lukaku, Smalling, and Rashford. I mean, like, you look at this list of players,
you would
like,
think they'd be higher up, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, again, Rashford did have a knock towards the end of the season, so I can see that. He didn't do quite a bit of running we didn't need to. But the most amazing thing is that who's at the top of the list really shows you how we're in dire straits. Juan Mata.
Yeah.
Tied with Andres Pereira for 11.97 kilometers covered, and then Fred and McTominay right behind running. Him, and then Mario and Fellini behind
and
him.
Herrera, we got, bro. And the two Herrera. Guys leaving.
Yeah,
Fellini,
so,
Herrera.
Lingard not too far behind.
Mata's leaving, number yeah. one.
Yeah, exactly. So
all the guys running are leaving, running out the door.
Again, I think the funniest part about this list is that, you know, Paul Pogba is not one to be slated or praised. He's right in the middle at 10.6. So again, Pogba, not the biggest takeaway from this list, but to be Martial.
But he's not top of the list. And people are and saying, Lukaku. Like, oh, he runs more than anybody. He certainly doesn't run.
Martial,
more than
Rashford, Lukaku, you know, you can kind of, for the strikers, it's a little different, but you like to see Luke Shaw a little higher on the list. Ashley Young should be a little higher on the list. You know, the midfielders.
Pogba should be higher, bro.
McTominay's right where
he
needs to be.
Pereira, Fred, McTominay, Fellaini, Herrera are all mid. I don't know. Feels like he should be a little higher, but it's close.
Yeah, I mean, this, again, when you're talking about this type of stat and everyone's getting really excited about it, it just shows you how far we have fallen. Yeah. Sir, let's get a little lighthearted fan questions. We got some good ones from Twitter here, so thank you for the banter, as always. At Ben Lease, Ben's Lease on Twitter. If De Ligt or Koulibaly are not possible transfer this summer, would you sign Sergio Ramos for 2 years, assuming low-ish transfer fee but outrageous wages?
That's a great question.
Simply to stop the bleeding at the back, or is he not worth the hassle at this point in his career? Sir, what do you think?
It's actually a really good question, because it's actually like a very likely scenario that we might find ourselves in 2 weeks.
This is Woodward-esque.
Not in the sense that we can sign Sergio Ramos, because apparently like the number that he's being touted from China is ridiculous, like $100 million over 3 years. But I like what you're thinking. I like the bants, but I think you go for an Alderweireld, because he's actually younger than Ramos. Premier League proven. I mean, Ramos is a better winner and more of the shithousery, right? Like, dude, could write a...
He'd look good in a United jersey. I just don't know if he's still got it in him.
Premier League at 33, and he's just like, you know, he doesn't want to come to United at this point, and he's looking for a payday. So I think Alderweireld, I think he actually would want to come.
Yeah, it's like Sanchez. This is Sanchez 2.0. Yeah, you know, someone who wants a payday.
Fool me once, dude. Shame on me.
Yeah, I would love for Ramos to come to United, wear the jersey, and put in a shift, but I kind of am worried about the Sanchez effect. When these players are looking for payouts, it's probably better they go to China than come to Manchester United, where we're trying to get younger, boost those running stats,
let's get those
and
up,
start
bro.
And start winning, right?
So I'm pretty sure I've seen this movie with Ramos before. I'm good on it, dude. I remember how it ends.
Exactly. Next fan question at Nadir1163 on Twitter. Quote, should Ole give more chance to youth this season than buying Twanzebe, Greenwood, Gomez, Chong? By the way, y'all doing an awesome with this podcast. Enjoy it very much. Keep it up. From Texas, don't mess with Texas, sir. What do you think about that? Youth, is that the way to go?
Sir, I mean, I think it's a combo effect. I don't think it's ever all of one thing, but this is really, is Ole going to be backed by the board in a major way? He needs to be, and if he isn't, he's probably going to have to rely on youth in order to do so. Even if he is, he should still pepper it in, because we have some really good talent. You called it out, Twanzebe, Greenwood, Garner, Gomez, Chong. I mean, there's a lot of them. So it's a combo, but like if he's not backed in a major way, then he's going to put even more of an emphasis, because he's not going to have anywhere else to look, right? Herrera's leaving. It's already thin in midfield, right? It's like I would give Twanzebe a chance as the guy over a couple of those players, even without anyone else coming in. So I think it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, and shout out to Twanzebe and Aston Villa for being promoted. Jack Grealish, one of my favorite
sign
English.
Sign him, bro.
He's just a character if you've ever seen him. He got in a lot of trouble for like... No, his boots, that was a hysterical article. But he's also been, like, ham-boned and, like, photographed and, like, you know, videotaped.
He's
a lot. He's pretty, yeah, he's, like, he's got a Rooney side to him, so I don't think that's why we should sign him. But, again, Twanzebe, he looked great at Aston Villa, playing in the championship playoff game. That game is worth over £100 million to the team who wins it. So, I mean, the pressure to be able to lift that silverware really shows you the character that he has. And I would test his mettle against... Chris the Milkman Smalling, and Phil Jones any day. I think we can't loan him out again. He's got to come back to United, and he's got to be fighting for that starting spot, because if you can do it in that game under that pressure, you can do it at Manchester United day in, day out, easy. I mean, that's probably one of the most pressure-laden games in English football, right?
It's not like we're like stacked, bro. We've got like a bunch of mediocre center backs. One good on.
No, we can sign
one. Good bang on in Lindelof. We have like Bailly is completely inconsistent. Smalling has his days, and then Jones and Rojo are kind of a mar. Why not give Twanzebe a shot, dude? He's 22, and he's like, you're like you said, he proved it. Proved it in like at a huge stage, and they won, which is also good. You should taste winning.
Yeah, he's a winner, and he played at the back.
He looked good.
If you want to check out his highlights, you can see him on our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Jumping in the housekeeping bit of the pod, the latest on our website is we are just getting the transfer inventory up there. If you want to check it out, I just mentioned the website is www.americanreddevils.com, and we are building out our store for the merchandise. I'll probably be, I want to say, mid-July, maybe early August, we'll probably get that up and running. Again, we're going to get the Gold Cup preview here for the U.S. Men's National Team. That will be the U.S. Men's National Takeover Pod shortly, maybe next week or the week after the tournament doesn't start for a little bit. So we'll keep you posted on that front. The problem is our friend just had twins. So his amount of spare time he can get to do research and jump on the pod, not too much. So we'll
Plus moves. We got a couple of moves coming in the next 30 days.
I'm literally moving this weekend. So next week, we'll probably get you the standard transfer Muppetry pod, and then we'll probably follow with the Gold Cup preview. But again, you have the U-20 World Cup. The United States is doing well in that. There's been some awesome goals so far. I believe that's in Poland. So if you're interested in following some soccer over the summer, you have the U-20 World Cup and the Gold Cup coming up for the United States. The Gold Cup roster has been released, like we said, I think on the last pod, has the little cast, usual cast of characters. Berhalter selected, Altidore, Bradley, you know, not too excited, but I hope we go full youth on the U.S. men's national team side of things. And then we tweeted out the Glazers out shirt. We have clown shirts. We have some to give away. We have a few medium and larges. These are just a test batch. We're going to be printing around 100 of these, featuring them on our store. I know you guys like it, but the reason why we're here, the reason why Manchester United is hurting so bad is mainly because of the ownership. We can't forget that. That is why our shirt features Avram Glazer as a clown, because that's what he is. He's put Ed Woodward in charge of this football team. The product on the pitch has gotten worse and worse, and the team is absolutely in shambles, mate. And it's because of them. We got to hold them account. We got to go green and gold, wear those scarves, and protest the club in the best way we know how. And I think this shirt is one great way to do it.
Dude, he's chairman of the board. The buck stops with him. They took $1 billion off this club off the table over the last 10-15 years. There's no excuse. That money should have been invested in the club, should have invested in facilities, in a new state, in upgraded stadium, never a new stadium, of course, and more players, more center backs, bro, more defense. We should have broken the record a couple times over the last couple years in defenders. So it's also only the Woodwards, bro. Woodward and the Glazers, gotta get him out.
Yeah, I want to do a Woodward one.
Tells you everything you need to know.
If you'd like to see a Woodward 1-2, except I would do like the big frill collar, you know, maybe like a little cone hat. I was thinking that as well. We got to get Woodward on a shirt.
Let us know if you have any ideas.
If you have any ideas, please tweet us at USA Red Devils or email us AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. And we'll be featuring our scarves, still finalizing those designs and printing them this summer. So again, we'll be featuring all of our merch that we're coming up with, Sarah making, having a blast doing it too. And please send us your ideas so we can make it come to life, and we'll feature it on the store. Jumping in to the last 10 days, last 7 days of downloads, top 10 cities, sir. You got to lead us off. This is a hysterical list. Hit us up.
Sir, it is a freedom-friendly top 10. We're happy to see that. Hope you all enjoyed your Memorial weekend. Let's start it out. Number one, and this is a familiar name. It's good to see you again. Round Rock, Texas. How you doing? Number two, Los Angeles, California. Number three, Aliso Viejo,
California.
Excuse me, sir.
There you go.
Jump in.
Number four, Jamaica, New York. Number five, Hudson, Ohio. Number six, broadcasting from the couch, the studio, San Francisco, California, American Red Devil. Shout out, sir. Finish them off. We got a strong list.
Number seven, Chicago, Illinois.
Chirac.
Number eight, Atlanta, Georgia. Number nine, Tampa, Florida. How you doing? Fucking Tampa. And number 10, Central District, Hong Kong. How you doing? Hell of a week.
You guys, thank
you.
Use a sign here, too. Thank you for supporting the podcast. As always, we got great emails, great reviews, great banter from the fan base. And, you know, the summertime is time for reflection, relaxation.
Yeah, I'm praying to those transfer gods for that Edward 350 to give me a sign.
I have no idea what they – what do they
do? I want
do?
A double signing, bro. Give me a double.
What?
A triple. I can go for a trip.
What is Ed Woodward doing?
Just counting his money, bro.
Like, what is
– counting his money.
Are him and Ole even sitting down and going through lists of play? I mean, like, it seems to me like it's this awkward thing where, like, the manager clearly has given his list of players to Ed Woodward, and they're just waiting for him to do something. It doesn't seem like it's a collaborative effort, or, you know, they're really trying to corral talent. It just seems like like the manager's like, I want all these players. And then Woodward goes out and buys maybe one and a half of them. It's, I think we're seeing the same thing play out.
Well, hopefully we're not making that same Japs Dam joke in 2 months. Oh, I could really use him in the back.
Yeah, but it's us, the fans, who need to hold this club accountable. We watched our, we watched the team lose to Cardiff. We watched us fold like a wet noodle at the end of the season when top four was on the line. And the fact that there hasn't been any statement from the club, they still have that stupid reward ceremony. They should have canceled that. They got to take this seriously. They want to get back to the top of English football and you know, again, hold this club to the standards it should be held to. They need to be seriously out in the market, bidding and buying players, getting a solution, getting players in. We need players in. It's not about getting the Dalits. It's about getting bodies at this point, getting youth talent. If half of them don't work out, that's fine.
It's part of
have someone else slot in. Look, Lindelof stepped up this year. Maybe next year's year at Bayi. Maybe Twan Zabi is our next starter. Who knows? But we should be getting another center back in. We need another right back. We need a right winger.
Attackers.
And we need a midfielder, especially let Ander Herrera go. Too many questions around this team and how it's being run. Ed Woodward's got to, he's got to straighten the ship.
Step
he's
got
to do it by putting players, signings in front of that little advertising board with the noodles in the back holding that jersey sign. And Eddie, get it done. And as always,
kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue.
Chelsea 2